John chapter 19 and verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, did I mention how many sayings Jesus said on the cross? Did I mention that? How many was it? Can you remember? No? Seven of them. Okay? Seven sayings on the cross. See how many we can remember, because I'm going to mention some of the things that the Lord said on the cross. And it's a rather wonderful thing that you'll notice that everything that he said on the cross just absolutely oozed love. God is love, and God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. So we shouldn't be surprised, really, that the Lord manifests love all through his life, but surely nowhere like he did on the cross. So, seven things that Jesus said on the cross. The first thing he said was astonishing. There were a few people gathered round the cross, and they were looking at it. This was a spectacle for them. It's a strange thing that when they used to put people to death, people would turn out to watch. It's true in this country as well. But for a crucifixion, there were three crucified. Jesus with two criminals. And the people round the cross shouted insults at Jesus. They weren't sympathetic. They shouted all sorts of things to him. "Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. Then we will believe you." And they shouted, and I don't doubt that their faces will be contorted with a hatred and a venom against him. And Jesus looked at them and he said this, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." That is astonishing. The one who made the heavens and the earth had come to this world. The world did not recognize him, and so they crucified him. And Jesus, in the midst of dying and agonizing death, said, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." It illustrates what Jesus was doing on the cross, dying for sinners. He's called the friend of sinners. And so it's sinners who love Jesus, not righteous people, but it's sinners who love the Lord Jesus Christ because they recognize him as their friend. And this is why, even when they were absolutely set against him, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." And we have good reason to believe that that prayer was answered on the day of Pentecost. 50 days later, then the day of Pentecost came, when the Holy Spirit came, and 3,000 people in Jerusalem. I like to think that some of those who were round the cross were there on the day of Pentecost and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. If you forget all the others, remember that. "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." The second thing he said was to one of the criminals. Now, the criminals had joined in with the crowd, and they'd shout at things at Jesus as well. And both of them had been shouting horrible things at the Lord Jesus. And one of them said, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and us. Save us. And the other criminal, he'd been shouting things at Jesus previously, but something had happened to him. Maybe it was after he heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Because he said, don't you fear God, knowing that we're under the same condemnation, but we deserve what we're getting. This man hasn't done anything wrong. And then he looked at Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, if ever there was a time when Jesus didn't look like a king, it was while he was dying and hanging on a cross. But this man believed as he was dying that he was a king. So he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So Jesus said the second thing from the cross. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Another name for heaven. Today you will be with me in paradise. Isn't that wonderful? Can you see the absolute love of God in the cross? Father, forgive these people who are shouting terrible, blasphemous things against me. And here's a man who has done terrible things worthy of crucifixion. And then at the last moment, he believes in Jesus. And Jesus says, heaven for you. Heaven is yours, even today. Glorious thing, this gospel. The third thing that Jesus said from the cross, still thinking of others, still absolutely oozing love. He sees his mum. Must have been such a sad day for her. And he sees his best friend John standing next to her. So, thinking of his mum and wanting her to be cared for, he says, dear woman, here is your son. And to John, he said, here is your mother. In other words, John, I'm leaving it to you. You make sure that my mum is looked after and cared for. And then, and I think of this really as the great climax of what he was doing on the cross. Because the fourth thing he said, he quotes the Bible. Jesus was always quoting the Bible. 39 books of the Old Testament. And he lived by this scripture. It is truly a remarkable thing that there are some people who say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the Bible. Because if you look at Jesus and all that he did and all that he said, then everything that he did was based on scripture. And he took Psalm 22 and he said from the cross the words of the opening verses. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, this is the most astonishing thing, because the Lord Jesus was always in complete fellowship with his Father. He always spoke the words that the Father gave him. All his miracles were through the Holy Spirit's power, because he, as a man, truly became a man, even though he remained God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was able to say to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're identical. And now, the great God of heaven and earth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Son, cries out, I have no sense of your comfort, of your presence. I have no sense of your nearness. And he had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he was made sin, and the anger of God, which was upon our heads because of our rebellion, was diverted now onto the head of Jesus Christ. He, being made sin, suffered the full and awful wrath of God against sin, and he personally experienced it. That's what that word means that Paul uses, that he was made a propitiation. One who diverted the wrath of God onto his own head. Glorious love. And then, the next thing he said was, I thirst. Again, from Psalm 22, so that scripture might be fulfilled. This seems such a simple thing to say, but doesn't it speak of his humanity? Doesn't it speak of the very, very basic need of human beings that we need liquid, we need water? And so it was that the Lord Jesus, as a truly human being, shows his vulnerability, shows his suffering, just in these simple words, that I thirst. And then the sixth thing he said is rather wonderful, because Jesus then said, it is finished. It is finished. Right at the start, right when he turned water into wine, the first miracle in Cana of Galilee, there he spoke about an agenda. He said then to his mother, my time has not yet come. And he repeated that through his ministry. And then we hear, as he gets nearer to his death, him saying, the time has now come. And as he faced all that he had to suffer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what he had to do. He had to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All the rotten things that his people have ever done placed on his head. That's what he had to face. And he faced it and went to the cross. And now we get to this absolute exalting word from his mouth, it's finished. I've done it. I've accomplished it. I've done what I came to do. You and I, we're born into this world and we do what we've got to do before we die. Jesus was born into this world with one specific purpose, and that was to die. That's what he came to do. And now he was like that racer, 2 inches from the tape, when he knows that even if he fell over, he's going to win the race. It's accomplished. It is finished. One final word that he said, which is again masterful. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The Lord Jesus had told his disciples that he had to lay down his life, that no one could take it from him. No one had the power or the authority to take Jesus' life from him. But he voluntarily laid down his life to the extent that his final words were, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. In other words, he dismisses his spirit to his Father. And he enjoys again that renewed fellowship with the price having been paid. What does it all mean for us? That it is finished and the price is fully paid. Well, to answer that question, we've got another preacher this morning, and it's C.J. Ward. And C.J. Ward will be up here. So children, don't worry, he won't ask you any questions. It'd be truly amazing thing if he did. But we'll just hear this brief sermon. It's under 5 minutes. Just a brief sermon about what it means that Jesus has paid the full price. What it means to us. I hope you found that edifying. I'm not encouraging Joe to play some inspirational music in the background on Sunday morning or anything like that. But I just thought, with it being Good Friday meditations, I just think that is such a joyous thing, which emphasises that the cross of Jesus Christ means God has accomplished what he set out to do, and the price has been absolutely paid. It's a truly joyous thing concerning the cross of Jesus Christ.